Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Welcome once again. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to another Best Ideas discussion with Harry Strausser, who you see on your screen as well. This one we're going to call Coming Together to Help One Another. Now, I think Harry and I agree this is a time for the ARM industry to come together, sharing ideas, supporting one another, and working together during this crisis, I think has never been more important. We're fortunate that we've got Harry with us, and Applied Innovation is sponsoring today's webinar. He's going to lead one of his best ideas sessions, which is very much a group discussion. If you weren't here last week or haven't seen one of his sessions before, very interactive. We're going to encourage participation from everybody who's listening, everybody who's watching. So be ready for that. Want to give you a little, let me tell you a little bit about Harry. Harry Strausser is a second generation collection veteran, having held the position of president of two successful collection firms until the sale of those firms in May 2017. He is a senior certified trainer with ACA International, where he served on ACA International's executive committee and held the position of president from 2004 to 2005. From 2018 to earlier this year, he held the staff position at ACA as Director of Education and Membership, and is now the Vice President of Business Development for Applied Innovation. Harry, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you back. Really looking forward again to our discussion.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, let me get rid of some housekeeping items here before we get started. Excuse me. As I mentioned, the format is a group discussion. We encourage you to participate in one of three ways. You can submit a question through the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel. You can submit a question through the chat in Zoom if you want to do it that way. Or in Zoom, there's a function called raise your hand. You can do that. And if I see your hands raised, I'm going to unmute your line and let you talk. Or if you're connected via video, you can even live stream your question or your comment to Harry and I. So there's those three ways that you can participate. We encourage everybody. The objective is to share ideas. How are you dealing with this? How are you working with your staff? How are you operating? How are you keeping the doors open? What are your plans going forward? All of that is on the table, I'm sure, and more as we move forward over the next hour or so during our discussion. This webinar is being sponsored by Applied Innovation, utilizing over 50 years of experience in the collections industry and over 75 years of experience in technology. Applied Innovation is helping to shape the future of accounts receivable management. Their product development is driven by customer feedback, agent profitability, and compliance. From their client portal to their payment negotiation tools and their document management and storage platforms, you can partner with a company who understands your business challenges and evolves to provide cutting edge technology to overcome them and to achieve success. You can go to www.appliedinnovationinc.com to learn more about the company. This event is being recorded. A recording will be made available on accountsrecovery.net's webinar recordings page. And finally, before I bring Harry on, I want to remind everybody that you should consult with your attorney or legal counsel before making any decisions. Anything discussed today should not be taken or construed as legal advice. All right, Harry, I think I've got through everything I need to get through. Why don't you kick us off?
All right, happy to do that. Before we do, I think that there's a very important question that came in. They want to know, what is the picture hanging on your wall? I think we need to address that now.
This one? Because
they're going to be, what is that?
That has been there for probably about 4 years. I think it's my now 11-year-old, who was probably six or seven at the time, drew a picture for me, and it's him and his brother. They're playing soccer together.
There we go. See, now that'll be one of the most important questions of the day. So, I think one of the interesting dynamics we've all experienced is so many people are working from home, and as we are engaging with them and on these video chats, you are kind of getting a snapshot picture of where people live and what they do and what their environment is like. And we've seen a lot of examples of that.
I need that product that you were showing me the other day, those backdrops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was a, I don't know whether some of our attendees today saw that there are companies that create actual backdrops for people that do these, you know, kind of in-home office types of meetings that it can go behind you. It's pretty cool stuff. I was looking at it the other day. So you will see, I have no doubt, we're going to see all kinds of creative approaches and products and technologies as a result of this crisis we're in.
Absolutely.
Now. I mean, we're just, it's just going to become the new norm. You know, the other day I started with a quote where I indicated that, you know, one of my favorite quotes when I talk about business in general is that change is inevitable and growth is optional. And the reason I want to mention that again is that what has it been, 6 days since we last met? I mean, it seems longer than that. It seems less than that in some respects. But so much has changed over those last 6 days. And the thing that is intriguing to me, and I want to underscore once again what Mike said, you know, this is an open forum. We don't have a particular long agenda. We want you to ask questions and to share with one another. I think that's really important. But what I've seen is a huge, broad spectrum of responses to the crisis by our industry. And it ranges from companies that are flailing their arms around, the world is on fire, we are going to lose our company, we're never going to make it through this, I've got to lay my people off, we'll be out of business in 60 days. To the other side of the spectrum, with companies that are very patiently and thoughtfully looking at the scenario that we're in, pulling out their disaster recovery plans, engaging some of those initiatives, and being very thoughtful about how can we best, in a sane and in a thoughtful way, do the best we can in this environment. And one of the good examples of that, some of the folks logged on today might know Gordon Beck. You know, Gordon has been active with our Collector Live. He's been speaking a lot in the industry, and Gordon is a perpetual optimist. He's got this great attitude all the time. And right now, you know, person chatting we were doing with him earlier today, he said things are just fine in our organization. We've got it under control. These are the steps that we're taking. So you've really got those two opposite extremes. And I realize that no matter what the answer is right now, the concern by everyone is revenue. The concern is, you know, how do we keep the revenues flowing so that even in a skeletal staff, we can kind of keep our head above water. And it's understood. We, of course, deal in an industry where we deal with consumers every day who are living that life every day. I think that there will be, you know, perhaps more empathy by collectors as we move on. So a lot of different responses. I think one learning curve for all of us, and I'd love for some of you to share your disaster plans with us. Have they worked well? Have they not worked well? What have you learned through this? One of the things with disaster plans is a lot of plans, from what we're hearing, did not incorporate, you know, a pandemic, where everyone everywhere across the world has been impacted. We're used to a hurricane hitting a region,
right,
fires hitting California, you know, those types of dynamics, tornadoes in the Midwest, but we're not used to this entire blanketed type of disaster. And, you know, when I've done training over the years and management training, I've often, we've talked about disaster plans and how to sort of mitigate that. And I've always told the funny story. And the lesson here, by the way, is to review your plan consistently, at least annually, make sure that it is appropriate and touching the items that are important to your company. But a number of years ago, we were working, and I'm on the second floor of my building with my business partner, and we heard a page, Mr. Green, please come to the first floor. And then again, Mr. Green, please come to the first floor. And I walk up the hallway to my business partner, and I said, did we hire somebody new? Did you hire somebody? Who is this Mr. Green? He said, I have no idea. And then we both stared at each other and realized that in our disaster recovery plan, a page for Mr. Green means that there is a security issue on the first floor. In other words, help. And sure enough, there was a disgruntled consumer that was getting rather rough with the staff on the first floor. the lesson there is that be sure you visit your disaster plan, and that it is contemporary, it is adjusted, and test the plan. And we can get a little bit more into that.
That's a great story and a great tip. I think, you know, it's funny, like, you mentioned the conversation we were having with Gordon, and, you know, over the last couple of days, I've launched a channel on an app called Slack, which is like a real-time collaboration and communication tool. If you want an invitation, it's open to anybody. Just send me an email. But, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody, and the question, like, never in the history of collections have we had to ask the question, is it okay to collect? Right. And that's kind of where we are right now. Like, is it okay to collect? Like, everyone says, okay, you can take inbound calls. Sure, that's fine because they're calling you. But, you know, this whole notion of can we send letters? Can we send emails? Can we make outbound calls? It's never really been as debatable as it is right now. And I think that's, you know, that's a question that sort of a lot of agencies are dealing with is, are you collecting, you know, yeah, and are you making
very simple calls? Question, right.
If your agency, you know, if your state allows you to make a call and your clients are allowing you to make a call, are you still trying to make calls? And I know some agencies are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think what's interesting is that we're an industry, we're used to landmines. Okay. We are navigating compliance issues every day of our lives. With a lot of talk right now, you know, agencies, of course, spend a lot of time understanding what are the rules if you are conducting interstate collections. If you're in more than one state, there's a lot of different rules. Now, which states, it heightens the interstate initiative, mm-hmm. which states are allowing you to collect, which won't allow you to collect, which ones don't allow you right now today to work remotely, which states have changed that temporarily, yep. that mandate. So I would agree. I don't think we've ever been forced to make the decision of do we collect or not. Now, situationally, we have. So, for instance, a lot of people are referring to Hurricane Katrina. You know, when there is a natural disaster in a region, it has been commonplace, obviously, for collectors in that region geographically and those across the country to say, let's back off on some of our work, you know, in those particular regions for a period of time. But now it's just a big question of do you collect or not? I mean, even if your state allows it, is it appropriate to be calling people? Now Gordon, earlier today, as we were chatting with him, says, we've got our collectors on the phone. Sure. They're in the office, they're on the phone, and they're making their calls. But the call's different. And I think I think there's a lesson to be learned here. It does not necessarily mean that you're calling and asking for money in this culture right now. But you're conducting outreach. You're talking to consumers who are concerned. You're reassuring them. Now, I know at the end of the day, once again, it's about continuing some revenue. But as Gordon would indicate and as others have indicated to me that are on that spectrum where they're saying, you know what, this is an opportunity, a time of opportunity. Mm-hmm. It might be a time to build rapport with consumers, to, you know, those that you've been dealing with for some time. They're going to remember that when this crisis is over. And I think we've all got to realize it will be over. Yes. At some point in time, whether it be in weeks or months, we will move on and we will have learned something from this experience. And there will be fallout and casualties in the industry, but we will emerge from it.
You know, and despite the circumstances, you have a captive audience. You know, people are most, for the most part, at home with not a lot to do in some cases. So maybe, you know, having a conversation that might have been adversarial 2 weeks ago, but is now going to be more consultative, you know, it is something that's, you're right, it is an opportunity for companies.
You know, one of the things that we've always talked about in the training I do are, you know, sources of money. And one of the things that often comes up is unemployment. You know, so even when people aren't working, they may have some income. Mm-hmm. Unemployment, and just for the heck of it, yesterday I got online and I was just doing some searches, and dramatic differences in the maximum unemployment benefit by state. Mm-hmm. PA was 580 something. The state of Washington, I think, was 790 something, and I believe California was over 1,200.
Wow!
And other states are below Pennsylvania. So, you know, it's all relative. Yes, there's going to be a lot of people collecting unemployment, but a lot of times those funds just barely, you know, cover their essential life, let alone making payments. So.
Right. So, what I want to do now is I want to bring in Tim Haig from State Collection. Tim, hold on.
So you can hear me?
You guys there?
Yep, we're here.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Harry. Long time no see, Mike. It's been a few days, but
it's been a few days, yes. A few
weeks. Well, you know, Tim, I think what we would love to hear from you, and for those of you listening, many of you know Tim. Tim is the president of State Collections, a multi-office, large organization. Been a leader in the industry in a variety of ways, including most recent past president of Great Lakes Collectors Association, and also the son of a past president of ACA, many of you know his dad. So with that said, you know, Tim, tell us a little bit about what's life like in your organization right now. What are you doing? How are you getting through this? What's the culture like?
Yeah, I think every day seems to be getting a little better. It does feel like this has been going on for months. And, you know, when you talked about Gordon Beck, I know Gordon, and he's always so full of energy, and he is a positive person. And I think that's exactly what I've been trying to say and do and get that across to the staff. So I think the number one thing that we've really been doing very well is communication to the staff. Every day we're sending out at least one, if not multiple, notices to all staff and to our clients. But the comments that we're getting back from both staff and clients are very rewarding. There's a number of staff that, you know, they trust us. They trust that we're doing the right things. They understand we're fighting for them. We're fighting to allow them to keep their jobs, you know, collect a paycheck. So we went into our disaster recovery plan. We did find some areas of opportunity, one particular one, and that was we had already had remote and staff. And before this happened, we probably had 80 to 90 people working remote, majority of those being representatives and then also some admin staff. As we started to deploy people, we realized we were short on headsets. And obviously we have headsets in the office, but it was a different type of headset. And so we've been scrambling to get our hands on headsets. We've been very lucky the last few days. We've had many shipments. And in fact, we just got a shipment in of 50 just now. And we have another shipment of 50 coming in this afternoon. But so far we've deployed about 300 people working remotely. So just about 50% of our staff. So feeling pretty good about that. I think, you know, going back to kind of Gordon's comment is, it is a tough time, but we have to think about where the future is. And there are many decisions of, you know, do we call, do we not call? Our stance right now is we are making calls unless a client tells us not to. We obviously stopped in Nevada. But we're just trying to keep the energy level up. We took the attendance policy obviously away. We're not forcing anybody to come into the office. When they started closing schools, that hit us pretty tough because we have a lot of single parents and a lot of parents that were just had to take care of their kids and couldn't be in the office. So getting people to work from home has been positive. And then it seems so first they closed the schools, and I know I mentioned this on Friday. I talked to a few people in our leadership team when this all came started, and I said, you know, we live in Wisconsin. I'll take this coronavirus pretty serious if they ever close the bars and the taverns in Wisconsin. And we, as you can imagine, the people in Wisconsin love their beer, love their taverns. Well, sure enough, they closed down restaurants and bars, and I said, okay, now this is getting serious.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, that was, I think, a week ago yesterday, right after I got done doing the presentation with you, Mike, on Friday, I get an email and a phone call that the state of Illinois was preparing to make an announcement to the governor at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. We have a location in Illinois, and that was the first that we experienced a state shutdown. So we had to deal with that, and then we came in Monday and got word that the governor of Wisconsin was also doing the same. I think we were prepared because a week prior to that, I told our entire leadership team, it's going to happen. It's going to happen by Monday. Let's get prepared and let's do it. So we're very happy to have our IT team that's just been doing an outstanding work. Our whole leadership team has really come together. Like I said, every day seems to be getting better.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Tim. You know, we've got all types of companies out there, you know, the larger ones like yours and loads of smaller organizations. I think, you know, one of the most important things that you're bringing up, you seem to be pretty proactive. Number one, you've got a disaster plan. You already have remote workers, which helps tremendously in a situation like this. But I think, you know, I've been talking to different people across the country that are in states where they've made no mandates. I mean, it's business as usual right now. They have, you know, no case, or I guess everybody has a case, but very few cases. But what everyone should be doing is looking at worst case scenarios right now. You know, just go down, make a bullet list. What if they shut down all business? What if we have to work remotely? What if we have to shut down because of the relief bill for 120 days, you know, beyond the end of FEMA's work? What does that look like? And hopefully we're not going to have to, you know, enlist and engage any of those activities that would correspond to those inevitabilities, but we've got to be ready for it. And I think a lot of people are not taking the time to do that. I think they're worried, they're kind of scared, but they're not making thoughtful planning, because there is a way through this and a way out of this if we have the right type of thought process involved.
Absolutely. We did get a question that came in asking about the latest version of the bill. I've been, you know, checking online every 20 minutes for since 5 o'clock this morning, and I have not seen it yet. You know, there are more pieces of the bill or the package that seem to be sort of coming out, and nothing that I've seen that mentions debt collections yet. So fingers crossed, we'll see what happens once we do finally get a chance to see that bill, and if it does actually end up becoming law as everybody expects it to.
What I think we can assure everyone is the moment we know what it is, you'll hear about it, because if it's not Mike, obviously ACA and all the other associations and all of the other folks that are looking after our best interests as an industry are, you know, very concerned. And some of you might have had the opportunity to tune into the Calkin program yesterday, the webinar they had, where they had some well-known legal folks across the country, and they pretty clearly addressed the bill, which I think is over 1,000 pages from what I've heard. I mean, it's massive. And, you know, there are concerns. What gets thrown in at the last minute to get this thing approved, and what does it mean to us? And a lot of conversation, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, what does it mean if we get a mandate that we have to, as an industry, shut down? And what's our next step? What's your next step in your organization? I think
you mentioned it to me, and I think you probably mentioned it in the last 24 minutes since we started this, but everyone's got to start planning for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
What is the worst case scenario? And, you know, envision it in your head and then envision a plan on how you're going to react to that.
Well, you know, when you look at what's going on around us, a couple of friends of mine where we were chatting yesterday remotely, and they said, this is like a movie I'm playing in front of us. Is that this can't be real, a lot of people are saying. When you look at what's happening, and every day in many cases is getting worse and worse, exponentially worse, what does that mean? I've got a couple of other businesses, and I see Diane has a question there, but we'll get to that. But, you know, I was sharing with Mike earlier, I've got a couple of vacation rentals about an hour north of where I live in Pennsylvania, up in the mountains. We have been inundated with requests from people from New York City to rent long term. They want to get out of the city. They're leaving their jobs. Some can work remotely. Some can't. They're just saying, I'm getting out, because it is getting, you know, so bad there. I've had a retail flower shop for 25 years with a business partner, and we've been somewhat shut down because of that, but adjusting to a whole new culture. I mean, every piece of our lives. Yesterday, there is a cemetery by my home where I live, about a half mile away. And as a florist, you know, they're not having services in funeral homes now. They're having the viewings in the cemetery with open caskets under tents. And I drove by and saw these people 6 feet apart walking one by one past a casket in a cemetery, which is virtually unheard of. So it's hitting every bit of our lives. Now, Diane says, you know, how any idea how we get relief if the bill does pass? And I got online, a friend of mine works in banking and shared a couple things. He claims that the SBA has two types of disaster loan programs that they're going to be offering. One through directly through banks, through your local bank, and then one directly through the SBA by the U.S. Treasury. And he claims that most businesses will qualify for these programs if they have fewer than 100 employees or less than $50 million in revenue, which, of course, that's a huge portion of our industry. There's no application fee, no obligation to accept the loan if it's approved. So the recommendation is, even if you don't know that you're going to need it, go out and apply right now and get pre-approved. So if weeks from now you do need it and you're pre-approved, you can tap into the funds. There's no limitation on increasing or decreasing the loan amount. But there may be some closing costs involved that they'll kind of, you know, work into the credit line that you get. Unsecured loans are capped at 25 grand, but secured loans can be up to $2 million and it's 3.75% interest over 30 years. So just an answer to Diane. I know her and I were chatting by email the other day. There are programs that are out there. And here's just an example of one. So I you know, obviously there's hundreds of millions of dollars that are being set aside for these programs, and that is tentatively how it would work.
Diane has a great idea here. If you just a little bit later on, Harry, I'll read it and we can open it up for your comments and from everybody else. She sent a note to existing clients offering to do outbound phone work. And she was able to get a large doctor's office to hire her agency to reschedule appointments. You know, I think that's incredibly clever and a great idea. And I hope it works out for her and, you know, for anybody else who tries it.
Yeah, but, you know, I know Diane has a rather small, newer collection firm. You know, that's what she was talking to me about the other day. You know, she's just completed about 1 year in the business and it has about five people, and it's just such a typical demographic of a lot of small agencies out there. But what she's saying is important. Let's get creative. You know, we've got people, even if they're working remotely, you've got computer systems and dialers. What could we do, you know, to help, even if it isn't directly generating a lot of revenue? You know, what can we do to keep things moving in light of the crisis going on now.
I've muted Tim's line. I can unmute it if we need to, but I know one thing he mentioned during the webinar we had last week was they were getting a lot of requests from hospitals who were sort of moving around their staff and didn't have, you know, the back office support. You know, they were repurposing people, and they were using, you know, they were reaching out to his company to see if he could help sort of with that, you know, run those back office functions that the hospital didn't have the staff for anymore. So that's another opportunity for a lot of agencies, especially those that are specializing in healthcare collections.
Sure. There's a lot of people that are in need right now. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit on all the creativity of what we can do. Kind of once again, talking about what help is available. I just made note of this. In one of our regional banks, I'm in Northeast Pennsylvania, I'm in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and one of our regional banks just sent out some communications yesterday. So if you're a customer of the bank, they are offering 90-day interest-only payments on mortgages, 90-day payment deferral options on mortgages. They're temporarily suspending all foreclosures and new repossessions for anyone that is currently delinquent. And they're offering a personal loans of up to $7,500 for 36-month term at 2.99% APR. So I think what you're going to be finding is, and the people in our industry today that are more the glass half full than half empty are saying, give this some time, buckle down. I know that survival is critical and it's very real for some people, but there will be an influx of debt later. Our industry is going to be very busy. And because a lot of people will be going out and securing, you know, putting money on their credit cards, right? Leveraging their credit cards, getting personal loans, equity loans in their homes, whatever they have to do to make it through this time.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
Absolutely. I did want to point out there was a comment that came in. Deborah Siski said that ACA said on a webinar this morning that debt collection is not singled out in the Senate bill. So that would be good news if that's if that holds true as the bill goes through the process.
Good.
Yes. Absolutely. Want to open it up if anybody else. Actually, let me, you know what, as we give people a chance to sort of think of any other questions they might have, I want to read some comments that somebody sent in advance, just to use it as a discussion starter. I would like to, however, point out the emphasis on to being extra vigilant on compliance procedures during this crisis. Clerical and back office support staff must continue their work. The e-Oscars, robo-dispute letters, and bankruptcy notices will not stop. Should the collection industry get shut down, I will take advantage of the downtime as an opportunity to go back and reassess all of our compliance procedures we have in place.
Sure. Well, here's the thing. You know, our organizations may not be able to be at full tilt. You know, you might have to lay off some people. You might have to get creative. And I think the dilemma is that we don't know, is this going to be two or three more weeks or two or three more months?
Exactly.
And that, I think, you know, we have to kind of take each day and each week one step at a time. But what a great opportunity, as he's indicating, to spend some time that you ordinarily may not have the time to do, to dig into your company, look at your disaster plans, look at your company from top down. I know, as a lot of you logged on, heard last week, I just took the position of Vice President of Business Development for Applied Innovation. And so I've just started to look at how to better move this organization forward at a time where we're none of us are really doing any sales work, right? But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to just take a step back and dig into some things in the company that perhaps you wouldn't have had the time to do. So a lot of my friends in the industry and their agencies, what they're doing now is just that very thing. Really taking some time for thoughtful planning. Great education available. I mean, over the last week, many of you have seen that all types of webinars are being offered on the coronavirus in our industry from all different perspectives. You know, here we're giving an opportunity just to share with one another in an open forum. Others are looking at different perspectives of the issue. So use the time to, in a valuable way, tap into the information that's out there to make your decisions. I know that sometimes some of the recommendations that are being made are not very solid. Nobody really knows for sure. So you still have to make some decisions that's best for your operation. And as you indicated, you know, so one of the big questions a lot of people have is, you know, should we be collecting? Well, states are mandating that and giving us direction on that. Clients are mandating, and this might be something we could ask for some feedback on. Can any of you share, what has your experience been with your clients? Are you getting mandates from clients that say, back off a little, stop completely? We want you to continue, but if you do continue, this is the messaging that we want. And yesterday on the Calkin program, another perspective was brought about by clients that may tell you, I don't care what they say state by state, you need to make the calls per the contract. You know, you need to call Nevada. Yeah. And of course, you know, the consensus was, you know, everybody's going to get in trouble if we have that kind of a mindset. So what we need to be able to do is to educate. This is a great education time for our clients that may be making decisions, not based upon the best information. So tap into these webinars, get good information, do a communication outreach. I think Tim's point was well made. Communication is one of the most important things right now. Mm-hmm. To your clients, to your staff, to all of your constituents. Very, very critical.
Yeah, I mean, as pointed out here in the chat, and it's something I wanted to bring up, in a lot of these cases, your clients are hurting too. You know, they're suffering from a loss in revenue. They're suffering from, you know, uncertainty and fear and anxiety. And, the money you're bringing in for them, you know, maybe, you know, able to help them keep their business open for one more day or keep one more employee on the payroll. And, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship that's going on here. That's always gone on here. And I think that's been part of the message the industry has been trying to share with regulators and lawmakers as everyone sort of just rushes to arbitrarily shut down the industry, that there is a huge need and a huge void that the industry fills. And I think sort of, you know, reaching out to your clients, communicating with them, offering them, you know, any help that they can provide, especially maybe being able to sort of collect on their behalf is something that everybody should be doing.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, it's also forcing us to look at things a little bit differently relative to kind of the compliance side of our business or the business protection side of our business. For instance, most organizations have professional business coverage that might have a loss of business provision. Mm-hmm. Interruption of business. So one thing you might want to be looking into, and I've been hearing a lot of stories all across the board on this, is call your insurance carrier and ask how they define your interruption of business. Some people are finding that there are literally clauses that it does not include virus pandemics like this. Literally, right. There's wording in there, and others do not. So you might have additional coverage that you didn't realize you have, or you may be not covered. So okay. Some of you may have realized that Deborah Siski has provided how to register for a program relative to the SBA webinars, which is some good information there. I think everybody should be tapping into that kind of information, whether or not you need it right now.
So, absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we've unfortunately seen a lot of, or maybe not a lot of, but seen in the last week or so is companies that have had to let employees go or laid employees off. I think that's sort of, on one hand, it's incredibly unfortunate, but on the other hand, it is sort of a proactive move that companies can take, you know, if they think that this is going to be something that's going to be going on for months rather than weeks. You know, laying off an employee now versus 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now, you know, may make a big difference. So that those are some tough choices that companies have to make. I'm curious if anybody has any input into how they're sort of weighing that decision, because there is so much uncertainty out there. How do you, you know, how are you making a decision whether to keep your employee, how many to keep, and, you know, and for how long?
Yeah. If anyone would like to share some of your thoughts on that topic, I think it's a big concern for everyone. I mean, I've talked to a couple people that were literally almost in tears this week about, you know, mm-hmm. Literally shut their office down. You know, they had 12 people. They did not already have remote work set up, or they did for maybe one person. Some of their clients have mandated that they stop. So they're literally, you know, sending them off. And you know, you might need to make some of those tough decisions to help preserve your cash position. There is unemployment. You know, there are opportunities out there for people to get a little bit of income. I'm also talking to people, you know, it's not just the frontline staff. There are people in sales. There are people in executive positions that are right now laid off in our industry and in other industries, too, because business is just pretty much shut down. So, you know, you can imagine what this is going to do to, you know, consumers' ability to pay as we move forward, and to, you know, delinquencies. And this is why some people are looking at it as kind of the glass half full scenario, that there's going to be a lot of business out there as we move, you know, into the third and fourth quarter of this year. So keep those relationships maintained. Well, a lot of companies are doing, if you don't feel comfortable doing a lot of outbound calls, they're doing soft outbound calls, but they're taking incoming calls. And what I'm hearing is that there's still a pretty decent volume of incoming calls, inbound calls from consumers that have questions on their accounts. They might even be calling to say, listen, the $100 I had scheduled for Friday, I'm just not going to have the money. But it's giving you an opportunity to talk to these folks and to work with them. And you might need to forego some payments in the near term, but in the long term, I think you're building relationships.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'd like to take a poll, sort of an informal poll. And, you know, in the chat, in the Q&A, if you're still making outbound calls, let us know. And maybe to the degree that you are making, like, is it, you know, as many as you were before? Is it significantly less? But I'm curious just to sort of get a sense for, you know, how many companies are making, and if you are making fewer calls, is it your own choice or is it a result of your clients asking you or telling you not to make any calls? I'm curious to get a sense, a feel for the industry and actually how pervasive that problem is.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And a lot of people just as we speak are making tough decisions. You know, one of my old benchmark group friends out in the state of Washington, you know, he was going to be logged on today and was going to share some ideas. And he today is pretty much shutting down the company because of the new mandate in the state of Washington and sending most people home and going to have a handful of people working remotely. But so I think a lot of those decisions are being made every day. And, you know, tomorrow there's going to probably be another state with another mandate that will, you know, allow us to or prohibit us from doing our jobs. It was interesting. You might have seen the post yesterday that, you know, some states like, you know, Nevada's pretty much shut down on collections. But West Virginia has issued a rule that debt collection is an essential business. Mm-hmm. And so this is where you've got these different opinions going on state by state. So in West Virginia, you know, you don't have to be shut down.
Country roads.
Yeah.
Tim Hague has raised his hand, so I'm going to bring Tim back in. Tim, can you hear us?
Yep. So awesome. Just talking about, you know, I mentioned that we've had some clients ask us to stop outbound. Some have asked us to stop all outbound and letters, but had an interesting call yesterday. One of our larger clients, and it's a first party client, they got scared, of course, and shut off all outbound calls. And he called yesterday to chat for about a half hour or so and wanted my opinion on that. And what we ended up discussing is, you know, to have that open communication is key. And so after speaking to him, said, you know, we can take a softer approach. In fact, that's the first thing we did is redid all of our scripting on both the bad debt side and the first party side. And we do 100% healthcare. And so right now, charity care is a big topic. And so by being able to make those outbound calls, talking to the patients, and what we have, and now I just had another call from a bad debt client this morning. We agreed on the same thing is if we talk to somebody and they mention coronavirus and they're out of work or they're at the stay home and all that good stuff, then we can talk about deferring payment plans or, more importantly, does it make sense to get them enrolled in financial assistance? Maybe they didn't qualify last month or a year ago, but now being out of work and their spouse out of work. So I think there are opportunities. And so after that conversation yesterday, he emailed me this morning. He went back to his leadership and they got approval. And as of April 1st, we're going to turn back on the outbound calls. The other point that I made to him is outbound calls generate inbound calls. And so without those outbounds, we did see a big decrease in this particular client from the inbound calls. So again, I think it goes back to the communicating with your clients and getting them to understand our world a little better.
Sure. Sure. Well, thanks for sharing that, Tim, and that it makes perfect sense. And so I do agree. I think one thing that, you know, everyone should be doing is to have a very proactive outreach. You should be calling every client, you know, get your client service folks on the phone and check in with them. And, you know, what are they thinking? What are they doing? Negotiate new cultures moving forward in the interim and keep it rolling. I don't think that, you know, in most cases, there's an answer to being able to do something within your organization.
I am curious, you know, if you are making outbound calls, someone's going to see that number pop up and maybe it's not the first time they recognize that number. How do you sort of get past that initial, oh my God, a debt collector is calling me, and sort of kind of manage that, you know, those first few seconds of a conversation to sort of let them know that I'm absolutely not calling necessarily to collect a debt. I'm trying to kind of help you, but still get through everything you need to get to. It seems like it's kind of it might be a tight needle to thread.
Yeah. You know, we in our training we do in the industry all the time, we talk about, you know, what is the perception of the debt collector, right? We don't have a, you know, warm, fuzzy feeling that people get when they think about debt collectors. But the new culture that we have that's emerged, I'd say, over the last 5 to 7 years, we have a very different approach to collections that we did years ago. ago, and it's very service-oriented to begin with. And so it isn't a dramatic change in our culture to even ratchet up that service just a little bit more. I see Tim's name is up here. Did Tim raise his hand again?
I think I forgot.
No, I accidentally unmuted. I went to go mute back. Sorry.
That's okay. Thanks.
Well, you know, I think people in general right now are sensitive to the types of calls that are being made. You know, I think it makes perfect sense for if you are able and you've got the setup to do it, to make some calls, decide what you want those calls to sound like. But I have to tell you, yesterday I'm working for my home office and the home phone rang and I answered it. And it was RCI Resorts calling to ask me if I wanted to use the points I had in my account to book a trip.
Sure.
We have some great bargains over the next 60. That's literally what the message was from this rep. And I said, have you not logged onto a television station already? I said, where are you calling from? She said, well, maybe in the future sometime. So, but the point being is I'm hearing a lot of stories from people that are getting calls, a lot of professionals in our industry that are very sensitive to those calls and what the nature of the call is, because this, you know, everyone's involved in this thing. So I think there's an expectation for us to be communicating in a certain way. But that doesn't mean you can't call. I would agree. I mean, I think we need to think of ways that we can be more proactively reaching out. And even if it is, you know, proactively calling all of your payment schedules that you've got and checking in and making sure they're okay, you know, there are ways that we can, keep moving forward.
Those are great ideas. We did get an answer to my question so far. A couple of people have submitted their information, and one person did say they only do healthcare debt, so smaller clients are counting on us because we're their only source of revenue.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times when we're talking about collections, you know, we often use examples of the big hospital, right? You know, the major credit card bank, retail collections, that type of thing. But the reality is there are loads of small to mid-sized businesses that place their accounts with agencies for collection, and they rely upon that revenue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of you might be in pockets with your company. You know, a lot of those folks that are logged on today and the huge number of operators we have that have 10 and fewer employees, you collect very regionally. You might be in a region right now that has not been heavily hit by this issue. Most people are working, and you don't have to make a huge adjustment. Others that have a wider footprint, obviously, and collect in different verticals, you know, you've got more of a challenge of making those decisions. So this is a decision, I think, in many cases, by each organization. You know, look at what is your situation, where you're at, you know, who you collect for, the nature of the paper that you're working. You know, I know another big conversation that came up yesterday in another webinar, and I've heard from some friends, is the issue of litigation. Mm-hmm. You know, what should we be doing relative to litigation? Most agencies obviously have a legal component to what they do. They forward out accounts, obtain judgments. If you're fortunate to be in a garnishment state, questions about, well, what happens with those suits that are in process? Should you be filing new suits in light of the crisis? Some states have made mandates on whether you can or can't. Others have not addressed it. There are concerns of statute of limitations. You know, there's time issues relative to litigation. So if any of you have any feedback for us relative to, you know, what's happening in your organization pertaining to suits,
Well, I'll give people another idea. It's something actually I'm just going to, not my idea, it was your idea, about doing work in your community. I know that that's something you wanted to, you had brought up as a possible discussion topic. And, you know, sort of given that, you know, there is this bandwidth now that you may have with collectors or sales staff who aren't as busy as they used to, you know, are you reaching out to, you know, other, you know, agencies, other groups in your community and offering to make calls, offering help? I know, like you've talked about the educational opportunities, you know, there are a lot of people out there, ACA's done it, Collector Live's done it, where they've made their, you know, their resources free to sort of help people educate, help people stay updated. Maybe there are other opportunities for companies in their communities to do something as well. Something
similar. Yeah, I agree. One thing we do know about our industry is that it's a very giving industry. You know, most collection organizations support nonprofits in their region or nationally. And this is a great opportunity to come to the table and give what you can. And if you can't operate as you normally do at full steam ahead, maybe there's others that you can help. Huge numbers of examples, and I'm sure that everyone logged on today, you're experiencing the same thing. All types of people from all types of industries helping one another throughout communities. You know, giving away food and there was just a story on this morning of regional police force. You know, nobody's out and about, right? They don't have a whole lot to do right now, so they are picking up groceries for elderly folks that can't leave their house, picking up their prescriptions. Wow. And delivering them for them. I mean, there are things like this that we can do, and it makes a difference, and people will remember. I mean, I think it's a great time for, you know, a reputational enhancement to show that we are a giving.
Absolutely, we can make some deposits in the favor bank.
Yeah. Yeah,
We've only got a few minutes left. Maybe what we can do is just throw it open one more time to questions. If you have questions or anything you'd like Harry to sort of weigh in on or put out there to the group, you can do it in the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel. You can do it in the chat. You can raise your hand and we'll ask the question or give you a chance to ask the question yourself. But really wanted to sort of give everybody one last chance to talk about the issues that are of most importance to them. Like, what's really, you know, what information are you really looking, do you really need right now? What, you know, what questions need to get answered?
Sure. You know, we talked about some of the, while we're waiting maybe for some feedback there, we talked about some of the other associations that are they're giving information and webinars. So make sure you tap into that. Also, some of the state units. I know everybody's kind of concerned about the state issues. Tap into your state unit of ACA or regional unit of ACA. I've seen a lot of them that are putting out messaging and updates on what's happening, you know, in that footprint. So rely upon them. Reach out to them if you have questions about your work environment, you know, specifically where you're at right now. I also saw another interesting post that the FCC has offered TCPA exemption in response to COVID-19. What they're saying is that as long as, you know, you're able to, without the way I read it, without consent, medical organizations in particular, and this might relate to some of you that do some first party work, are actually, you know, sending out messages about the virus and about office hours at the and policies at the hospital, and also they're kind of giving an exemption for all of that, so, you know, nobody can file a lawsuit, I suppose, as a result of a TCPA violation for those types of issues. So even in that realm, everyone is learning. Everyone is a moving target. Tomorrow at this time, I'm sure there'll be some new revelations that occur that might change our perspective on how things are heading.
Well, like I think that's part of the thing we've been talking about is we don't know where where the bottom is. Like, where are we going to sort of start? Okay, things are as bad as they're going to get. Now we can kind of start to rebuild. So you can kind of put a timeline on it. You can sort of wrap your head around it. Right now, it's just like everything is sort of so up in the air. And these states put in shelter in place today. And these states are going to do it tomorrow. And, you know, like the response has just been so, I don't know what the right word is, but it's just been so sort of difficult to kind of wrap your head around. That I think that's been part of the problem for a lot of us is we don't really know, you know, how bad this is going to get and for how long this is going to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there's any silver lining, I guess it's that I hope that we learn a lot, and I hope that we won't be caught this off guard in the future. I think in my mind, there is no doubt that companies in our industry today will be leveraging technologies tomorrow that they hadn't used before. And we were already moving in that direction with the proposed rule changes of the CFPB and the FDCPA. You know, we're waiting for that final rule. And there's, of course, lots of conversation about opening up technologies. You're going to be having organizations that are going to be leveraging email, SMS, and texting. And it's going to be a very different world as we move forward. And I think it will force organizations. I think there's a lot of organizations right now that are, you know, lamenting that they didn't incorporate some of those technologies sooner. I know, so for instance, friends in the payment space right now, they're getting loads of calls from companies wanting to set up IVR that have been talking about IVR. Now, IVR is a technology we've had around for a long time, but they've been thinking about doing it, and now they want overnight, can you set this up? We need to have an automated way, and it's just not something you can set up in 24 hours in most cases. You know, but I bet you we'll have it for the future. So, I mean, you know, that I think is a silver lining. Let's learn from this. Let's figure out what didn't work well now so we are ready for any eventuality. I think at this point we all realize in our lifetimes anything can happen. If this has happened now, you know, all those things in life and those things that go through your head, you think, oh, that'll never happen. Yeah, it might. And so how do we, you know, get ourselves prepared for the future? And the good thing is that there are loads of great vendors that are out there that service our industry, that are very supportive of our industry and offer resources to you. You know, when you're ready to get rolling again in business, you know, reach out, talk to these vendors about how they can offer solutions to you that will make you just a better organization for the future.
I think we've all sort of redrawn what our worst case scenario is.
Yeah.
As a result of this.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, we've just about run out of time. I don't see anything else in any other questions or comments in the queue. So Harry, I'll leave you. I'll give you the chance to sort of wrap things up before we end our meeting today. Any other final thoughts?
Well, I think I'd just like to say that, you know, everybody, you know, be well, be thoughtful, take the time to meet and communicate. Getting back to what Tim said, communication is the real key here. And if you have to make this tough decisions in your organization, you know, make it with your staff. Don't make it to your staff. Get them together. Talk about it. Assure them that this is something that will end, you know, and that we'll regroup when we get back together as a team. I know that in a lot of your organizations, it's your second family. I mean, you spend so much time together and you truly care about the people that you manage and that you work with. And I think it really tugs at the heartstrings of everyone, sure. Apart from the financial issues, apart from all the business and compliance issues. It's just got everyone thinking about people that they care about in different ways, realizing that, you know, some of these bad things can happen. So hang in there. We will, you know, based upon need and requests, I'm sure that we'll think of coming back again, maybe with another session in the future to give you an opportunity to share, and hopefully, you know, we'll have some brighter outlook as the weeks go by.
that would be very nice. Well, Harry, thank you very much for leading this discussion. Thanks again to Applied Innovation for sponsoring today. You know, hopefully we'll be back soon, and the next time we're back, you're right, we'll be looking at sunnier days ahead.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
everybody. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great day. Stay safe. Continue to stay safe, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Take care.
Bye now.